All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13, for the message this morning. John, chapter 13. Now, it's going to take me a couple minutes to read the text to you this morning, and then my introduction is a little longer than normal. Actually, the introduction is longer than the 3 points that I want to give you in the body of the sermon, okay? But I've got to lay a foundation so that we can, with the 3 points, put a ground floor and a second story and a roof on it, all right? So if you look at it that way. But John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, these are familiar verses to you. This is the passage that tells us about the Lord in the upper room. It is the eve of the crucifixion. Now, keep all this in mind. It's the eve of the crucifixion. In just a couple of hours, they're going to be in Gethsemane, and the Lord is going to be praying for the disciples and for us. And then the soldiers are going to come. Judas is going to betray Christ. They're going to arrest him, take him to the house of Caiaphas. The illegal trial will begin. And the next morning, he is going to be placed on the cross to die for our sin. So keep all that in your mind as I read the story. So here they are now in the upper room. Verse 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus, what's the next word? Knew. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having, what's the next word now? Loved. All right, so he knew and he loved. Keep that in mind. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, next word, knowing. So he still got full knowledge. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You see, Peter loved the Lord. And the Lord said, if I don't wash you, Peter, you don't have any part with me. There's no partnership here. And Peter said, well, Lord, if that's the case, and he bent his head over and held his hands out, not only my feet, if that's the case, wash my hands and my head also. Oh, Peter wanted to make sure that he was in good stead with the Lord. And so in verse 9 or verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, watch this now, this is real important. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. All right, now, you look at your verse, And I'm gonna give this a 2015 makeover here, so that we can put 2015 words in there. Jesus saith unto him, look at your Bible, if you've had a bath, then you don't need another bath. All you need is your feet washed off before you go to bed. If you've had a bath, no need for a second bath. You just need to get the dirt off of your feet where you've been walking around out here. You with me on that? All right, so he that is washed needeth not save except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit in every way. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew, there it is again, he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken back his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. In other words, what you just saw me do was a lesson. Do you understand the lesson? So that leads to the statement, verse 13. Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now let me pause right here. There are churches, and this is big in the mid-Atlantic area, but they're all over the country. There are churches that believe that there are three ordinances given to the church. Baptism, and secondly, the Lord's table, and then thirdly, foot washing. Now, we believe there are two, baptism and the Lord's table. You say, but Pastor, Jesus said, as I have done to you, you ought to do to others. Well, in principle, what he was doing there was serving them. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment. The Lord is not saying that foot washing is an added ordinance. You say, well, how do you know that? Because there is not one example in the book of Acts where the church practiced the washing of one another's feet. Baptism, yes. The Lord's table, yes, but not foot washing. And if you look back at verse 12, last part, he said, know ye what I have done to you. This whole thing was a picture. It was an acted out parable. He was not instructing the church to practice foot washing. He was instructing the church to be servants and humble yourself in front of others. All right, so that's why we believe there are two ordinances. They're the only two found in the book of Acts. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the lesson of the bath. The lesson of the bath. There is a lesson here that the Lord Jesus taught the disciples, and then John recorded it, so it's a lesson for us as well. And I'm going to call it the lesson of the bath. Let's pray together and in the message. Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you will bless your word to our hearts this morning. Give us understanding and open our understanding that we may see these little principles from this passage of scripture that will help us as we live for you in these last days. Encourage our hearts, Father, and stir our souls to your truth. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you need to understand, before I get into the heart of the message, you need to understand a little bit of the background that surrounds this 13th chapter. This is the eve of the crucifixion. In just a few hours, the Lord is going to be arrested, and he's going to go to the cross the next morning, and he's going to die on that cross. So basically, what is recorded here are the last few hours that the Lord Jesus had with the disciples. And so naturally, he knew he was leaving. He understood the timing of the whole thing. He knew what was about to happen. And so in these last few hours before his arrest, he wanted to spend as much time with them, teaching and training and preparing them for what they would face in the days ahead. Now, of course, the Lord knew that he was going to leave. These men had been with him for 3.5 years. And these next few hours were going to be quality time, which he would spend with those that he loved dearly, just prior to his leaving this earth to return to heaven. Now, there's something that I want to point out that I think is emphasized by John as he is telling the story. In verses 1, 2, and 3, you will notice that John strongly emphasizes the fact that Christ loved these men. He loved them with all of his heart. But also notice that John puts a great deal of emphasis on Christ's knowledge. He knew everything that was going on. He knew what was in their hearts. He knew what they were thinking. He knew everything about them. But yet, he still loved them. There is a proverb that says, love is blind. But the love of the Lord Jesus is far from blind. His love is undergirded with complete knowledge. Imagine that, folks. He knows us, and yet he still loves us. That, to me, is beyond my comprehension. You know, sometimes our love can be tempered once we learn about the object of our love. I remember when I was in college, I had a roommate who, about the first week of school, came in from class one day, and he just went on and on and on about this girl that he saw in his class. And he evidently, I mean, he just thought she was the living end. She thought, wow. He thought, wow, look at this girl. This is the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. And we looked at him and said, man, you're smitten here. He goes, oh, you ought to see this girl. And so one of us said, well, what's her name? He goes, I don't know. So we started talking, you know, trying to tell you need to find out who she is. So he would come back every day after that class, just raving about how beautiful this girl was. And so we encouraged him. You need to talk to her. Oh, I couldn't talk to her. I said, well, you got to talk to her. Oh, I couldn't do that. Well, one day he came back in. He said, guys, I walked with her. I talked to her. I said, well, did you ask her to go to lunch? No, couldn't do that. So we kept on, ask her to go to lunch with you. So he finally got up the nerve. And so he asked her to go to lunch. Well, the day came and they went to lunch and we were all sitting in the room and in the door he came. His face was long and he was shoulders slumped over. And we said, well, tell us about the date. How'd it go? What's going on? And he looked up. He goes, oh, my goodness, that girl's nuts. We said, what? He goes, she's crazy. I said, well, you going to go out with her again? No, she's nuts. And that was it. It was over. I mean, after he spent a little bit of time with her, he realized that, you know, beauty is only skin deep. And sometimes nuts goes all the way to the bone, does it not? And so that was it. I mean, once you get to know somebody, sometimes that tempers the emotion. And so here in verse 1, we are told how much Christ loved the disciples. But then John makes sure that we understand that he, Christ, knew everything that was going on around him. He knew the hour that had come that he should depart, verse 1. He knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, verse 3. And he knew even who it was sitting at that table who would betray him, verse 11. And it was under the illumination of that knowledge that Jesus then got up and took a towel and a basin and washed the feet of his disciples. Folks, does that not augment the wonder of his deed here? He knew everything that was going on, and yet he still washed their feet and loved them. I mean, to me, it makes the deed become even more special. The Bible says that of Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. Now, that's the first thing I want you to see underlying this story. But then there's a second thing that I want to call to your attention that is underlying everything that happened here. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, "And the supper being ended." Did you catch that when I read that a little while ago? "And the supper being ended." In verse 2, we are told that the Passover supper was over with, and then the Lord Jesus took a towel and a basin and washed the disciples' feet. Now, isn't that strange? You say, "Pastor, what's so strange about it?" Well, think about it, folks. The customary time for the host to wash the guest's feet was before dinner, not after dinner. I hope you see that. So when I read that, I thought, well, that's strange. Am I the only one that noticed this? So I turned around and grabbed some commentaries to see what others had to say. And sure enough, others have seen it through the years and made comments on it. So it was the customary thing to wash your guest's feet, to make a basin and water and a towel available to your guests before they eat the supper, not after. So then I began to wonder, well, why did the Lord wait until after the supper was over? And here's what I found. When you compare Scripture with Scripture, you find out, and John doesn't tell us this, but Luke does tell us this. And Luke tells us that as they were gathering and coming into the upper room, they were all fussing amongst each other about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. It was at that time, as they were coming in, that they got into this argument about who was going to sit on the right hand and on the left hand of the Savior during his kingdom reign. And so when they came through the door, you remember the story, the other disciples were angry at James and John. Remember that? And so as they came in, the bottom line is nobody was willing to be a servant. Nobody was willing to take the basin and the water and the towel and serve their fellow man because they were all in such a bad spirit. There was nobody lowly enough. There was nobody humble enough. There was nobody in the right spiritual frame of mind to offer to be a servant to anybody else. Was Peter, who was arguing for the preeminent spot in the kingdom, going to humble himself and stoop down in front of John to wash his dirty old dusty feet? No way. No way. Was John, who had his own thoughts about the traitor, going to humble himself and wash the feet of Judas? No way. There was no way. So with dirty feet and even dirtier hearts, they went to supper. And folks, here's the amazing thing. And yet Jesus saw it all and loved them in spite of it. And that was when the Lord Jesus bent down, took a towel, took a basin, and washed their feet. I think this was why there was such a strong rebuke from Peter when our Lord approached him. It probably just rattled Peter when the Lord knelt in front of him and he looked down at Jesus and said, "You're washing my feet? I mean, after what you just saw with us coming in, you're going to humble yourself in front of me? I don't think so, Lord." And Peter, the Lord said, "Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have a part with me." And man, like a dagger that pierced into his soul. And Peter held out his hands and he bent down his head and he said, "Then Lord, if that's the case, wash all of me. Wash all of me." And in verse 10, the Lord Jesus taught them the lesson of the bath. If a man has had a bath, look at your Bible, verse 10. If a man has had a bath, then he doesn't need another bath. He only needs the dust and the dirt of the world washed off of him. You see, after a bath, is a man not fully clean? Of course he is. So all he needs is his feet washed off after he has walked in the filth of this old wicked world. In other words, folks, if you've been saved, if you've been bathed in the blood of Calvary's Lamb, you are clean, you are justified, you are saved. And it is the stain here and the defilement there picked up on the hot and dusty road of life that needs to be washed off each and every day. That's the lesson of the bath. Now, that's the story before us this morning. Everybody see it? Everybody got it? All right, if I were to give you a test, would you pass? All right, that's the story. Beautiful story, isn't it? What an important lesson the disciples had to learn. Now, let's take a couple of truths out of this story. Let me give you three things. Number one, as I was reading this and thinking about it, this came to mind. Sometimes we may not understand as we go through the Christian life. Sometimes we may not understand what Christ is doing in us. Boy, that's so true, isn't it? If you look at verse 6 and 7, says in verse 6, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." You know, sometimes we may not understand what Christ is doing in us. Oh, Peter objected here. "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Well, Peter, there's some things you don't understand right now, but one day you will, and one day when you look back on this situation, you're going to be blessed by the lesson that you're about to learn. How many of you had a mother when you were growing up who had you doing 1,000 things that you didn't understand why you had to do them? My mother was that way. I mean, I can remember grumbling and groaning and saying, "Why do I have to do this? But aren't you thankful for all the life lessons that your mother taught you along the way? Your mother said, trust me, I know what's best for you, now do this. And you did it. Now you grumbled about it. You complained about it. But Mom, why do I have to do that? But then years later, you saw that she was teaching you how to live life. My mom used to say, eat your carrots. I liked raw carrots, but I did not like cooked carrots. I like them now, but I didn't like them when I was a kid. And my mom said, eat your carrots. If my mother said, eat your carrots, that meant that you were going to eat the carrots before you got down from the table. You remember that? You remember those days? I would still be sitting at that kitchen table today had I not eaten those carrots when I did. I would not be here this morning. I'd still be sitting at the kitchen table down in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, an old man with moldy carrots on my plate. I don't know how many times I said, but Mom, they're cold. She said, you should have thought of that 2 hours ago. And my mom used to say this. She'd get this little gleam in her eye and she'd say, eat your carrots, they're good for your eyesight. And then she'd smile and she'd say, have you ever seen a rabbit wearing glasses? You see, those little things that Mom did when you were a child, they did not make sense to you when you were a child, but once you grew up, they made perfect sense. And that's what the Lord was saying to Peter here. And Peter would come to learn the value of the lesson of the bath. Remember now, he was Peter. He was the one who was prone to rash behavior. And although he was saved and had been saved many years earlier, he had his spiritual bath many years earlier. There would have been many a day when he needed the dust and the dirt of the world washed off of him so that he could enjoy that part, that all-important part with the Lord. Have you understood the lesson of the bath? You know, I think some folks think, well, you know, I got saved, I'm good, I got my life insurance policy, I got my fire insurance, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die. But wait a minute, folks, don't forget the lesson of the bath. Don't forget the part. We had our spiritual bath the day that we came to Christ and accepted him as our Savior. But since the day that you were saved, you've walked many a mile. Every day since you were saved, you have walked out in this messy, dirty, grimy old world. And like a magnet, the world's grime has attached itself to you. So you need a good spiritual washing off every day. You don't need another bath. You don't need to get saved again. You already got saved. But you do need to get the world's grime off of you. I remember one time years ago, it rained, and we were just kids, and we were up at my grandfather's house, and back where my grandfather lived, we had running water, but it's what you ran down to the well house to get. You know what I'm saying? And it was Saturday night, and you know what you did on Saturday night? You took a bath. Whether you needed one or not. Well, we always needed one. And so I always said, I'm first, because they didn't change the water. That was too much effort. And so they would pump that water out of the ground, or they would pull it up with buckets and heat it, if you were lucky, heat it on the wood stove in the kitchen, and then pour that water in a wash tub, a big old wash tub, and then you crawled in there with a bar of soap and you took a bath. And it had rained, and we were outside playing, and we were just filthy dirty. And so we came in, and I said, "I'm first." And so I jumped in the tub and took a bath. And then my little brother got in after me. And so I toweled off, put my clothes back on, and it quit raining. Sun came out, and somebody said something about, "Come here and look at this." And so outside I went, and I went running through the yard, and I ran down and went down in the creek and got stuck up to my knees in mud. Oh, my grandfather was not happy. And I said, "I'm not taking another bath." He said, "No, you're not. I'm not drawing more water." And he stood me on the back porch and took buckets and just threw the buckets of water against my legs to knock the dirt off of them and said, "Now stay in the house this time. It's bedtime and you're not going out getting dirty again." And that's the point here, folks. That's the lesson of the bath. You don't need to get saved all over again. No, you get washed in the blood. You've got your spiritual bath. You are clean every whit, the Lord Jesus said. But you do need to get the grime off of you. Second thing, I want you to notice the condition of having a part with Christ. Let me ask you something, folks. Don't you want to be in partnership with the Lord? I don't think you'd be here in church today if you didn't want to be in partnership with Christ. I mean, there's just something within you that wants a part. You want to be a part of what the Lord is doing. I want you to take your pen, and outside of verse 8, where you see the little word part, he said, look at it. "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Would you just write the word fellowship in the margin of your Bible and draw a little arrow over to the word part? Because that's what part means. It means fellowship. He said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no fellowship with me." If I wash thee not. You say, "Pastor, how do you know that word means fellowship?" Well, let's go over to the Gospel of Luke for just a minute, and we'll compare Scripture with Scripture, and I'll show you why I say the word part means fellowship. Go to Luke chapter 10. Just one book back. Luke chapter 10. And look at verse 38. Luke 10, 38. Everybody got it? If you got it, say amen. Amen. I finally got an amen out of you. Good. All right, look at verse 38. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he," Christ, "entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus's," what? Say it. "Feet." Huh? Are you listening? Folks, this is not an accident that these stories correlate, that they parallel. That's the Bible. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. Oh, you can learn if we just read the Bible. All right, so Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good," what? "Part." There it is. Part is fellowship. What was Mary doing? Sitting at Jesus' feet. You say, but Pastor, there was work to be done. Yeah, and there's a time for everything. But let me tell you, when Jesus is there, your best bet is to be sitting at his feet learning something. You know, service is good, folks, but look at what the Lord said. He said, one thing is needful. Above everything else, the part is the most important thing. If you've had your bath, then you need the part. They go together. Now, I want you to see something in Martha here. Look at verse 40. Look at this 40th verse. I want you to see what she says, or what Jesus says. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was cumbered about. She was distracted by her own service. Do you see that? Yep. She was distracted by her own service. Now, listen very carefully, folks. I wonder how many of us are so busy serving the Lord that we neglect the good part. I mean, you can just get so busy. And Jesus said, one thing is needful. Serving the Lord is good. We all need to serve the Lord. We all need to serve in some way, in some fashion. But the part is the most important thing. Staying in fellowship with the Lord is more important than anything else. Just opening your Bible on a daily basis and sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word. And Martha was distracted from fellowship by the service that she was doing. But notice Christ told Peter the fellowship comes after the washing. After the washing. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And folks, listen, are you saved? You say, yes, sir, Pastor, I'm saved. All right, good. Now, here's what you need. You need the part. You need the washing off of the mire and the dirt of the sin of this world. Every day you're walking through the world, and every day that world gets on you. Take time every day to work on the part. Take time every day and get in the book and learn at the feet of Jesus. Oh, you need to make sure you're saved. And if you're saved, you've had your bath. Now, keep the dirt washed off of you. That's the point. That's the lesson from the bath. And you see, old Peter, he's going to need this lesson, isn't he? Because every time Peter opened his mouth, he said something foolish. I mean, every time he did something, others had to, whoa, Peter, hang on here now. I mean, that was just Peter, rambunctious, just, you know, out front. And I'm sure when he preached, 3/4 of the crowd got mad before he ever got done. So he's going to need to learn the lesson of the bath. And then there's one more lesson. One more thing. Number 3, I want you to notice Christ's call to the loving and lowliest of service was given. He gave a call for the loving and lowliest of service. Look at verse 12, going back to John 13 now. Look at verse 12. It says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I've done to you? Folks, this is the heart and sum of this entire event. He did all of this to show the disciples one of the greatest lessons they would ever learn. Know ye what I have done to you? This was basically an acted out parable to teach them a lesson. And then he said to them, look at verse 13. He said, you call me master and Lord, and you should call me master and Lord because I am master and Lord of all. But guys, look, if I, the master and Lord of all, have laid aside myself and have served you, you ought to go forth and do the same for others. Now again, folks, let me remind you that not a one of them stepped up at the beginning before dinner to take the role of host and serve their fellow man. Not a one of them. All they were doing was arguing over who was going to be the top dog. So what a wonderful lesson this was. Now let me ask you a tough question. Do you think that the church of Jesus Christ will ever learn that the Christian life is not about me? Do you think we'll ever learn that? I don't think we will. I really don't. Do you think we'll ever get to the place where our only desire is to be a servant to somebody else? I don't think we'll ever get there. Not in this life. So why was this humiliating action chosen to make a point? Why was it chosen? Well, I think there's a lesson here. Let's translate the gospel into this story. All right? Do you remember when you got saved? Remember when you got your spiritual bath? I remember when I got mine. I was 16 years old, down in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, heard the gospel, came down, got on my knees, and got saved. You know who I asked to save me? Huh? Yeah, the Lord. I didn't ask my pastor. He was standing up in the pulpit. I didn't ask the youth pastor. I didn't ask any of the deacons. No, I asked the Lord to save me. You know what I did? I humbled myself at the Lord's feet. That's what I did. Is that what you did? It's what you should have done. I hope you didn't ask some church to save you or ask some baptistry to save you or ask some preacher to save you. I hope you asked the Lord. So what did you do when you asked the Lord? I tell you what you did. You humbled yourself at Jesus' feet. But then what did the Lord do? Well, if you read your Bible, here's what the Lord did. The Lord said, sure, son, I'll save you. And he gave you a bath right there, spiritual bath. And he lifted you up. And here's what he said to you. He said, now, I want you to go serve. I want you to go do something for me. You said, well, Lord, I'll be glad to do something for you. What do you want me to do? And out of our story here, he says, I want you to go be a servant to somebody else. Just as I just served you by giving you a bath, I want you to take my message and I want you to go wash somebody else's feet. I want you to go serve others. I want you to go tell others. And so you did. Oh my, that's called your Christian life from the day you get saved until the day you get to heaven. And so you've served the Lord. And now the years have passed and you've been an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You've read your Bible. You've been a good church member. You've been a soul winner. You've taught Sunday school. You've sung in the choir. You've done ushered. You've done this, done it, played in the orchestra. My, you've just been a servant for God, telling others about how to get a bath. Now, you go over to Revelation 4. Don't do it. Don't have time. But do it when you get home. You go over to Revelation 4. And you see us all standing around the judgment seat of Christ, which was what they were all singing about here this morning in the choir. You see us all standing around the throne. And you look over at John and he's weeping. And the angels are weeping. And everybody, why is everybody crying? Well, there's no man worthy to open the book. And then all of a sudden the angels say, wait a minute, right there's one worthy. And there's Jesus sitting on the throne. And we have the judgment seat of Christ and we are rewarded, all of us who have had the bath and have now been serving the Lord for all these years. And they step up and they say, hey, Ray Shupp, you were the soul winning director at Church of the Open Door. Here's your crown. Here's the soul winner's crown. And Ray says, for me? Wow, look at that. And he goes to put it on his head and he goes, boom. And wait a minute, that doesn't fit me. Let me try this angle. Boom. And he takes it off and he holds it. And he says, what am I going to do with this? It doesn't fit me. And all of a sudden, all the angels of heaven say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And Ray says, wait a minute, this was not for me. This is for him. And Revelation said, we take our crowns and cast them at his feet. Amen. Full circle. You started at his feet, and you will end up at his feet. Worthy is the Lamb. You see, it's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's not about any of these egos on this platform. And it's not about any of the egos in that choir loft. And it's not about any of the egos sitting out here in, well, who do you think you... It's not about that at all. It's about him. And the Lord says, hey, boys, here's the lesson of the bath. When I give you a bath, you're clean. You're clean. But now you're going to go out here in the world and you're going to get dirt all over you. Stay in the book, stay in church, stay in prayer. Get that grime off of you every day because you're out there every day walking and you're going to get dirty. But just keep grinding away. Just keep faithful. Just stay with it. It is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. And one of these days when you get to heaven, you're going to find out the reward is not for you. It's for the Master. And you'll be glad you got plenty of crowns to cast at his feet. What I do to you right now, you don't understand, but you will, Peter. Oh, that we would learn the lesson from the bath.